what we're talking about is having more self-confidence and working on your self-confidence and really getting to know what you're good at means that it's a lot easier to move departments.
Welcome to the O for Food's Sake podcast, where we unwrap the joys and struggles of working in the food industry so you can thrive in what you do best while sustaining a rewarding and fulfilling career or business. We are your hosts, Lucy Wager, food industry consultant,
and Amy Wilkinson, food industry coach. We've worked in the food industry for the last 20 years, and we're here to share with you the benefit of our hindsight. Our podcast is for you to find new ways to cope with the daily struggles, but mostly to inspire you to work on what's not working to ultimately improve your career or business long term.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of O for Food's Sake. Today, we are talking about changing job functions and talking about, you know, the reasons why you might feel like that at certain points in your career and giving tips on the best ways of being able to do it. So we did this because I've had quite a few people message me over the last few months talking about, you know, how do I get into product development? And yeah, we just thought it'd be a really good episode to talk about and think about all the reasons.
And I've done it a lot.
Amy's an expert.
Anyone that doesn't know, I have worked like across a lot of functions. So I started out as a technical graduate, then I worked in process development, then I went into concept development, then I went into commercial, then I went into category and insight and marketing, and then ended up becoming a coach. So I've done lots, and I used to, do you know what, for a long time I saw that as a weakness. And it was actually on the podcast, you saying to me, Lucy, you said something about, you always, I think it was like in the very first episode when we were doing our stories, and you were like, you always do yourself a disservice, but actually it's a strength.
Yeah, yeah. And it is, because you see, you can see things from a different perspective when you've lived in those shoes.
Yeah, you get it a lot more. And I think there's something in that, in terms of a lot of people are scared to make that move, kind of look and see, and they're not really sure how to do it. So I think it's important to know that you can do it.
Yeah. And I think there's that sort of imposter syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
You know, oh, I can't do that.
Oh, well, I still have that.
Yeah. Well, yeah. But I think that stops people a lot. But I also think there's you need someone recruiting into a role to recognize the transferable skills that someone has.
Yeah. And I think that's an important point, because, and it depends on the business that you're in and all of that, but we'll come into it. But I think let's just start with just acknowledging that actually in this day and age, career paths are not linear. Mm. You know, they're not like they used to be. People don't work for the same company forever. And actually, the landscape of jobs and everything is evolving all the time. Mm, so it's okay to want to move around. And we've had a few people, haven't we, on the podcast that have changed functions and stuff. And actually, it can feel like it takes a lot to put it out there that you want to do it. But actually, if you're in a supportive enough environment, it's actually quite easy to do.
And I also think when you meet someone they're in a job function, you just see them in that job function. And then you might find out, oh, well, I used to be a product developer and then I moved into commercial. And you're like, oh, that's really, but you don't realize it.
Yeah. So I used to get that all the time when I was in marketing at Vacaphor, and I was like, oh, yeah, I used to sit in this office because I used to be in product development. They're like, what?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You don't see that in people, but actually, yeah, there's a lot of things that can be transferred. And I don't think we always give ourselves enough credit, because we don't realize what are the things that we do that are transferable. But let's just talk quickly about why you might want to. And for me, there's definitely been, I get bored, right? Mm-hmm. And I like, if I master something, and I'm not saying I've been the best at everything I've ever done, but if I don't feel like I'm learning anything new or different, I get really bored and I stagnate in a job. And I always wanted new challenges, and that was part of it for me. But it can also be, you know, when I pivoted from commercial into marketing or insight category, I was burnt out. Like I was done. I was done with commercial. Mm. I want the level of stress that I was going under. I wanted something that was a steadier pace and made a difference in a different kind of way. So it might be that you know, even if I go back like 25 years when I was in my first technical job as a technical graduate with a food science degree, thinking, oh my God, this is not what I want to do. I want to do something more creative. I don't want to be, you know, doing traceabilities and all of that sort of stuff. So actually taking some time to think, if you are feeling that bored and stagnation, what is it that you really want to do? What are the bits of the job that really light you up, and where else could you be doing that? You know, is it the people? Is it the creativity? Is it that you really like process and numbers and spreadsheets? You know, what's the thing that matters most to you? But I think also, and I talk to a lot of coaching clients about this because I work with a lot of women in midlife, what we want changes. You know, whatever stage you are at life, if you, you know, you've had kids, or you just have got to the point where you feel like you're not feeling like you fit in anymore, or there's been a lot of shifts in mindset about what people want out of a job post pandemic.
And like the work landscape has changed as well.
Yeah.
And I also think it's okay to learn new things about yourself as you go through your career.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so my experience is different, but during podology, I sort of, to begin with, I have pivoted. I went and worked as a recruitment consultant, for God's sake. And still in the food industry, but what a pivot that was from product development. But those changes that you make give you a different insight into you as a person and help you understand what makes you tick. So when I first started in that recruitment role, I was really excited by the challenge of the sales, but that didn't last very long. And then I was like, oh God, I don't want to do this forever. But I was excited by it to begin with and gave me a little taste of it. But at the end of it, you know, I couldn't stop myself coming up with the idea of podology and then like running away with that and starting that. But during those years, nothing like starting a food startup to kind of give you an oversight into sort of every role.
Every job function there is.
And then really recognize, like, that was an opportunity to sort of real self-reflection and look at myself and think, well, now, you know, what I really love, I always come back to product development and launching products, basically.
Yeah.
So I think there's nothing wrong with, like, through your career, as you develop as a person and you go through different life stages personally and professionally, you learn things about yourself and you learn strengths about yourself.
Yeah.
And you can, because let's face it, you come into the food industry and that's really when you start to learn about all the roles that are in the industry.
Yeah. And understand what they do and stuff like that. And I think that's one of the things when we come on to like practical tips on what you should do is actually go in and talk to people in different departments or ask to shadow people or that sort of thing to understand what that actually means. If you've got access to those people, understand what a day in the life is really like, because I think we can have a perception from the outside. So if I look back, I had a perception when I was in MPD and I moved across into commercial, you know, I'll hold my hands up. And one of the reasons I wanted to do that was because I've always felt like MPD was like the afterthought and I wanted to be the center of the action. And actually, when I got to be the center of the action, it was just day-to-day firefighting. I didn't actually feel like I was making a difference, which is then when I leaped into category, I was like, oh, we can actually drive category growth, because that's the bit of commercial I really enjoy, not the on the phone every day because the pineapples haven't turned up. Yeah. You know, so it's understanding, and also in different job roles are different in different businesses. So what are the bits of it that you enjoy? Because I think there's certain things like functions that you see more crossover. So I think you do see people moving from, like, a lot of people do nutrition degrees and then end up in product development, don't they? But also people in the factory moving across into process a lot of the time, or QA roles into process. People like me moving from commercial into insight, or vice versa. But it's really just thinking about what are the reasons that you want to do it, and then start thinking about what skills you have that are transferable. So actually map out what you do in your job on a day-to-day basis now, and then get a job spec for that job that you're going for and think about what have you got, what is missing. So if I think about when I moved from MPD into commercial, I was already had all the customer facing, I already understood costings. you know, the one thing that I always felt that I didn't have, and this wasn't actually true in hindsight, was negotiation skills, because I hadn't been on an official negotiation skills course, which is quite ironic now because I basically, we don't call it that because NPD people don't like to call it negotiation, but that is what you're doing when you're influencing other people.
I had this conversation with Son. I had exactly this conversation with someone yesterday who's going on a negotiations course. And I was like, oh my God, that sounds like my idea of hell. And it's like, it's always commercial teams that go on negotiation training, but we all negotiate all the time.
Yeah.
It's just not about money necessarily.
All right, folks, we're going to take a quick breather here to hear from our fantastic sponsors. They help keep the podcast going. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. As we all know, the food industry never stands still, and it's not getting any easier. More pressure, tighter deadlines, and endless spreadsheets. Sound familiar? Point 74 is the perfect solution for cutting through today's product development challenges, enabling teams to create, cost, comply, and collaborate with ease. Used by 1 in 5 of the UK's top food manufacturers and 2 of the top 5 retailers, it's the software behind the label of your favourite food products, delivering improved quality, margins and processes, all in one seamless system.
Ensuring food safety and quality is crucial. That's why businesses trust Microsearch Laboratories, part of the IFP Labs Group. UKAS-accredited Microsearch offers microbiological, nutritional and allergen testing for food, drink and water, delivering fast results and expert support. With over 30 years of experience, trusted by leading manufacturers and retailers, and a commitment to sustainability, Microsearch is your partner in product safety. Visit micro-search.co.uk to learn more.
And we're back. Thanks for sticking with us. Let's dive right back in. Well, I've got a proposal that I'm writing at the minute, and it's exactly that. It's like, it's negotiation skills for NPD teams, but we have to call it something else. But actually, the reality is, it's
negotiation is just such a horrible word, isn't it? It's like,
well, it is if you like us.
Yeah.
And that's where my imposter syndrome came in that job. But anyway. But I think, important. Talk to people that do the job already. Understand. So that's part of what I did. My shout out to Jenny White, as she was there, Jenny Palmer. She got me across into commercial. She helped me. Like, I sat down with, that was the other thing. So I was worried about negotiation and forecasting. And she was like, sat me down with a spreadsheet. And she was, she didn't say it exactly like this, but she was like, we basically just put this in and make it up. I'm like, right, that's what forecasting is, right? But, you know, like there's these big things that you sort of hear other departments talk about, but then actually if you sit down with somebody and they explain it to you, I can do that. I can do that. I can make the leap. If those are the two things that I need a bit of help with, then that's absolutely
fine.
We're
all more capable than we give ourselves credit for.
Yeah. I need to remember that when I'm saying that I can't forecast for my business now. I'm like, obviously, I used to be able to do it.
It's not that you can't. It's that it's just not one of the things that comes naturally to you.
Yeah.
And that's a point, isn't it? In every role, there's going to be things that you're really good at, and then there's going to be things that are more of a stretch for you. But that's the case in any role.
Yeah. And that's where recognizing what are those things that you really enjoy doing and what are your strengths, and are they the skills that are needed in the function that you're thinking about moving across into. And if they're not, then don't do it, because you're just going to be miserable. Or do it, but do it with, like I was thinking about, we had Cam Rigg on, and he was talking about he went into commercial because there wasn't any other opportunities in co-op at the time. So he went into commercial, into buying role, but always with the view to, this is just a give me some breath, and then I'm going to go back into product development.
And you do have to have that kind of mindset, I think, sometimes, where you've got to go through, I'm going to call it pain. I'm sure it wasn't that painful, but you know what I mean? Like, you've got to go through, you've got to go on a journey to get to the final destination. And it's what you're willing to do and learn on that path, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. But I think the other thing is, talk to people, let people that know that you're interested, particularly if you're I was going to say in a big organization. Do you know what? I made the moves that I made. So I moved from NPD into commercial and then commercial into insight, all in a medium-sized business. And I think there was almost some more, it was a smaller team, so there was more trust, but they knew, I think there is a real benefit in that they knew already that I had those yes. transferable skills. I'd already demonstrated them.
I think it's harder in a yeah. very big business, much harder because yeah. you're much more
siloed
in your, because when I left M&S, when I first started Podology, I was like, why didn't I spend time with the supply chain team? Why didn't I go and speak to the logistics people? But it's not what you do. Like no. you just, they do that. I do this.
Yeah.
And we're in a meeting. I have no idea what they're talking about. And so it is much harder, I think, because when you're in a smaller business, even when it's still a big business, but it's a medium size, you yeah. all sort of know what each other are doing and you get to see different skills and
yeah,
you have a much yeah. better insight.
And that's not to say that if you were then going for a job externally, you can't do the switch then because
it's not impossible.
No, but what you have to do at that point, if you are doing that, is really clearly demonstrate on your CV what are the transferable skills that you that work for the new function, job function that you want to go in. Because that's one of the messages I get a lot is I'm work in X at the moment and I want to work in MPD,
yeah.
but everybody wants experience. So find ways to demonstrate that you've had experience or exposure, offer to do a little bit of extra work in the MPD department where you in the business you're in,
yeah.
or, you know, find ways to get a bit of experience that you can put on your CV.
And I also think it's useful. This is where your network and building your network, speaking to people, getting a mentor in the area where you want to move into,
yeah.
learning from them, using them as like an advocate for your transferable skills, because it is a risk for a business to take on someone that doesn't have experience. It is a risk, but
yeah.
I believe it's a really good risk to take, because
yeah.
to get the best people, you sometimes need to look outside of the normal places.
Yeah.
But it would be seen as a risk for business. So you need to give them as many opportunities to see that it's a good risk to take.
Yeah.
A worthwhile risk.
Yeah. Yeah. And then if there are like hard skills gaps, then there are lots of ways to go and do some, like if you can do short courses, LinkedIn learning, things like our, you know, we have had that conversation with people that want to move into MPD, do our MPD fundamentals course. You know, there's things out there, but I think sometimes, and I see this a lot more with women, we're like, well, if I go and get Prince 2 and I go and do this qualification, if I just go and get myself an MSc, and like, this is not what we're talking about. We're just yeah. talking about pick one or two big skills gaps that you've got and then go and upskill in them. Because actually even that, for your current employer or a new employer, shows the will that you've got
yes.
there and how much you want it.
Yeah.
Because if you want it enough to invest that time outside of work hours to do it, then you're proving something within all of that. But I think the other thing that I wanted to talk about is that it's, if you are, because I think people always, I think also particularly because my business is now called Fearless Foodies, people think that like I'm fearless. I am not fearless. Like,
she's called it fearless because she's not fearless. She wants to be fearless. She's trying to be fearless.
Well, I think the point is feel the fear and do it anyway.
Yeah,
I think
exactly.
that is my motto
yes.
of life. All of those yeah. moves that I have made, I have been terrified. The first time I moved from MPD into a commercial role and had to pick up the phone to co-op and told them I was shorting an order, my hand was shaking. Like there's no wrapping it up any other way. But if you want change to happen, you have to make it happen yourself.
Yeah.
You know? And it's absolutely normal to have those thoughts, you know, it's too late, I don't have enough experience, what if I fall flat on my face, you know, I'm too junior, all of that. Like, it's normal to
yes.
fear change. But actually, I always say, you know, well, if in a year's time you do nothing, where are you going to be?
Exactly. It's a really good point because... yeah, you're absolutely right that I think people can look at you or look at me and think, wow, they're so brave. But it's putting yourself out there like Cam did, you know, that would have felt unnatural to him, I'm sure, to do that yeah. commercial role. But it's going in with your eyes wide open, knowing why you're doing it and doing it anyway, despite the fear.
Yeah.
And the imposter syndrome feelings and... it's
and
that
getting
stretch.
The support and
yeah,
getting the support and like
yes.
not being therefore afraid. So if I think about when I then moved across into category and insight, because I hadn't grown up in that role, I had people that worked for me that understood it better than I did, like the data and all of that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And so I didn't pretend. I just was like, I don't get it. You're going to have to, you know, I'm going to hold my hands up. Can you explain it to me? Like, actually, I think actually when you look at it on a grander scale, what we're talking about is having more self-confidence and working on your self-confidence and really getting to know what you're good at means that it's a lot easier to move departments.
Yeah.
Because you're clear on what what are the strengths that you bring. But like, there's got to be a bit of courage in there too. Like,
it's all about being brave.
Yeah. But I think if anything, for people listening, I want to say to you, you can evolve your career at any time. I'm proof of that. Lots of the people I work with are proof of that. And if you're thinking about pivoting and you want support, then reach out. I've got a team of coaches now that can help with that. But also know that you don't, you know, if you're feeling stuck, if you're feeling apathy, if you're feeling burnt out, it doesn't have to be that way. You can do something about it. And sometimes just moving into a completely different function is going to reignite that passion for the industry that you might feel like you've lost.
And we all have long careers now. So, it's, you know, variety is the spice of life. So,
yeah. But so many people I work with, they're like, oh, well, you know, I'm too old. I'm like in my early 40s. I'm like, you're working into your 60s and 70s, mate. Yeah, like you're only
there's
halfway
always an
through.
Excuse. Like, I'm too young. I don't have enough experience. I'm too old. I've been in this too long. Yeah, I can't, you know, there's always a reason, and it's finding the way around that reason to do what is going to bring you some joy.
Yeah, but getting support through it really, really helps, whether that is a mentor, a coach, a friend, you know, a confidant.
Yeah, definitely.
Do that as well.
Yeah.
So I hope you found that useful. Do come and let me know on LinkedIn, and we'll see you next time.
See you next time. Thanks for tuning in. If you enjoyed today's episode, please share it, rate and review us. It really helps us reach more food industry pros like you.
For more resources, head over to our website, overfoodsake.co.uk, and join our mailing list to stay in touch.
And if you'd like to connect with us, come say hello on LinkedIn. We're both there, Lucy Wager and Amy Wilkinson.
Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.
See you next time.